Okay, so we are on the top of Samach Hei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara quotes the next section of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, "Ubumoch sheba azna," that a woman is allowed to go out. It's a man also. They're allowed to go out with some kind of wad in their ear to absorb any of the wax or any pus that's coming out of the ear. But Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel learned, "Vehu shekasher ba'azna." That's only true if it's tied to the ear so that it can't fall out. Another one condition to make sure that it won't fall out, because if it falls out, we're scared she might carry it. Next, ubumoch shebesandla, and with some kind of padding in the shoe. Rashi had said yesterday to help the to help relieve any pain from the shoe. So again, Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, Rami Bar Yecheskel learned in a brisa, vehu shekasher lo besandla. But that, as long as that's only true if it's tied to the shoe. I saw somewhere that said that bisman hazeh, this only applies to a sandal, not to a minnow. So if you have a shoe and you put an insert in, you don't have to worry. You don't have to tie the insert in, because since the shoe has laces or covers the foot greater, better than a sandal, it's not a problem that you might maybe. Well, if it's not tied, maybe I'll come to carry it. You're not violating Rabbi Bar Yecheskel's additional requirement if you put an insert into a regular shoe. Bisman hazeh, a sandal maybe, yeah, because a sandal is open on top, and we're afraid that if it falls out, you may come to carry it. And regarding the, so I saw some people hold also that if you put cotton in your ear and it's so firm and pat and compact that it can't come out, it's okay. And even if it falls out, it's not a problem. We're not going to be choshish that you're going to carry it, because we're going to see in a minute that if it's going to fall on the floor and it's going to become disgusting, you're not going to pick it up. Right, so we're going to have that by... Right, we're going to have that by Anita now. That by Anita, she's allowed to, because even if it falls out, no one's picking that up. Right, the mold that's inside her body. It's all mold. No one's going to pick that up. So they apply the same thing by the same thing. Maybe would be by an ear. There's a huge machlokus over here by the ear about whether something in the ear is a chatzitza. You see, maybe from here that maybe it's not a chatzitza, because if we're going to have later on in today's daf. We had said before that there are things that a woman can't wear because we're scared that she's going to have to go to the mikvah, and then she's going to have to take them off and carry them. So if we're allowing all this, doesn't it seem to imply that these are not chatzitzos? So that's a huge discussion in the Achronim. Anyway, the next thing that the Mishnah said was, "Ubamoch sheheskina lo lemidasa," and a moch that a pad, a wad that a lady uses for when she's in nida. Savar Rabbi Bar Chama Lameh, Rabbi Bar Chama thought to say, "Vehu shekishura la ben yarkoseha," as long as it's tied in between her thighs. Again, so it's tied so that it won't fall out. So Amarava, you don't have to have that requirement. Afal pi she'eno kasher lo, even if it's not tied. Why? Kiven de ma'is, since it's something that's very ma'is, lo asi le'isuye, she's not going to carry it. And if it does fall, she'll leave it there. Boy minei Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Abba, also so law base yad mahu. What if this moch had some kind of handle, some kind of base yad, so that even if it fell, it could be carried from the base yad, which would not be mos. Amalei, he said, nevertheless, mutter, it's mutter. It's still mutter, because the whole thing is mos. So even if it has a handle, it doesn't make a difference. Itmar nami, Amar Rabbi Nachman, Bar Oshia, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, also saw law base yad mutter. Even if it has a base yad, it's still mutter. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, nafik b'hu l'bei midrasha. Rabbi Yochanan had something in his ear, and he went to the shul. He went to the base of Medrash. The chalukin alav chaveirav, and the chaveirim got upset with him. The rabbanim got upset with him because he went out with something in his ear, and it wasn't tied. Rabbi Yanai nafik b'hu l'karmelis. Rabbi Yanai went out to a karmelis. The chalukin alav kol doro, and everybody in the generation was upset with him. We're going to see the difference in a minute. So, v'hatani Rami Bar Yecheskel, Rami Bar Yecheskel learned v'hu shekasher lo ba'azna, that it has to be tied. So if it has to be tied, how could they go out untied? How could they wear these things in their ears untied? So the Gemara says, lo kasha, it's not a kasha. Ha de mahadik. If it's in very, very compact, very tight, so that it won't fall out, that's not a problem. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan did. So, ha de lo mahadik. But what Rabbi Baruch Eskel was talking about, where it's not very tight, so therefore it has to be tied. That's the first pshat, the preferred pshat of Rashi. Rashi's second pshat is that Rabbi Yochanan, it was tied. And really, he would have been allowed to go out into the street as well. The Gemara is asking, so why did the story focus on the Beis HaMedrash, which Rashi says was near his house? He didn't have to go out to the Rosh Hashanah. He could have even gone out to the Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara answers, no, but it was tied, but it wasn't tied tight. So therefore it was that was the issue about that. So you see from over here that if it's in the ear, compact, it's tight, it's not going to move, it's not a problem. Fine. The next thing that the Mishnah said was that a woman, so the man also, the palpel with a pepper, who begalgal melach, and a salt, some kind of salt cube. So palpel, why would somebody wear that? Why would somebody carry that? L'reach hapeh, for the reach hapeh, to have bad breath. And Gagal Melach Ludershini. Gagal Melach, for some kind of toothache called Dershini. So what does that mean? That you're allowed to go out with a piece of salt in your mouth walking in the street on Shabbos? That's what the Mishnah says to Gemara seems to be saying. So I forgot where I saw it. So that it becomes like a malbush. If you're carrying it in your mouth for a purpose like this, it becomes like a malbush, so a malbush you're allowed to go out on Shabbos. I know that you can't eat while you're walking on Shabbos without an erev, because that's carrying. But if it's something that you need for some purpose, it's considered a malbush. Then the Mishnah had said further, v'chol davar shenosemes l'toch piha, and anything that you put into your mouth, what is anything that you put into your mouth, what does that mean? Again, it's for a purpose. Zangvila, it's ginger, or inami dirtsuna, or it's dirtsuna, which is cinnamon. So Rabbi Akiva Eger asks a question. So again, why are you putting that in your mouth? So you should have good breath, right? And that's mouthwash, basically. So Rabbi Akiva Eger asks that Tosis had said yesterday on the Mishnah that the reason why you can't do this on Shabbos is two reasons. One is a problem of refuah that we had said before, that if you can't do it, you can't do it on Shabbos. Because, right, you can't do it on Shabbos, and if it falls out, you can't put it back in. So why can't you do it on Shabbos? So Tosfos had two reasons. First of all, it's a problem of refuah. And second of all, it's a problem that it looks like you're trying to make an end run around carrying. I'm going to put it in my mouth, really. Right? So because you're going to do that, you can't do it before Shabbos. You can't do it on Shabbos. Before Shabbos, not a problem. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, the Tosefta says, and the Mechaber Paskins, that mouthwash is not medicine. It's not refuah. Don't take mouthwash on Shabbos. What's Tosfos talking about? And he doesn't have an answer. He leaves the Pesach in. He leaves the Pitzarach here. Mechaber Paskin, in black and white. That's not refuah, taking mouthwash. You're allowed to. So why can't you do it on Shabbos? And he doesn't answer it. Okay, next. It's going out to sucking candy. Right, so I don't know. No, sucking candy on Shabbos in a place without an Eruv, I don't think you're allowed to. I never thought that. But maybe it's for, maybe, I don't know. Right, so then, we're going to get the teeth in a minute. Teeth is right now, false teeth and gold teeth. Also questions that come up by going to the mikvah with false teeth and gold teeth. No, but I don't know. I have a chance to look up about.
It doesn't seem right. Right?
It doesn't seem right. No, it doesn't seem that it's mutter to go out with a fucking candy on Shabbos. No, it doesn't. We have to do more research about that. We'll have the answer tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so the next thing the Mishnah said was, Shein toseves, a false tooth, Shein shel zahav, or a gold tooth. So there's a machlok, it's whether it's two different things or the same thing. It's a false tooth that is gold, or it's two different things. Rebbe Matir, Rechachamim Oser. Rebbe Zeira, so Rebbe Zeira said, Lo shanu elo shel zahav. This whole machlokes about the whole machlokes about a gold tooth is only by a gold tooth. Avol b'shal keses, but if it's silver, divrei hakol mutter. Everybody holds it's okay. Rashi explains, because a gold tooth looks very different than your teeth. So they're both, so we're going to see in a minute. But a silver tooth looks just like your own tooth. So any problem that you have with a gold tooth, the problem Rashi explains is they're going to laugh at you. They're going to laugh at you and you're going to take it off because they're making fun of you. But by a silver tooth, it doesn't look any different than your regular teeth. So no one's going to make fun of you, so you can go out with it. Tanya nami hachi, b'shal kesef, if it's gold, if it's silver, divri hakol mutter. Then everyone who holds it's okay. Shal zav, but if it's made out of gold, Rebbe matir, Rebbe says it's okay. V'chachamim osrit, and the chachamim say it's not okay. So Rashi says, right, Rashi says they're going to be mavati you, and you're going to come to take it off. Amar Abaya, now Abaya says, Rebbe Eliezer, V'Rab Shimon ben Elazar, Kulu Svirahu, they all hold, all these three people hold. The Chom Midi de Migne, Bey, anything that's going to embarrass you, Lo Asyalach Vuya, you're not going to come to remove it. Rebbe Hada Amaran, Rebbe, what we just said, you're allowed to go out with a gold tooth on Shabbos, either going to laugh at you, yeah, but you're not going to advertise it. So if you're not going to advertise it, we had this already before, the other two Peshitas. If you're not going to advertise that you have a gold tooth because you know it looks funny. So therefore, there's no chashash, you're going to show it to anybody, and there's no chashash, you're going to come to carry it. Rabbi Elezer de Tanya, Rabbi Elezer poter bekovelas ubitzluchios shel plaitim. Rabbi Elezer was poter, and Rashi reminds us that really was mutter. That you're allowed to go out with a flask of spices, or with a flask of oil, to make your body smell better, because you're not going to advertise that, because you don't want to advertise the fact that you don't have body odor. So you can go out with it on Shabbos. And Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Tanya, we had this ready also. Klal Amr Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Kol Shehu L'matim Min Hasvacha, whatever is below the hat, Yotzei Bo, she can go out with that on Shabbos. Why? Because she's not going to remove her hat and expose her hair. We had all this already. She's not going to do that in public. So since she's not going to do that, it's embarrassing for her, so she can wear all that stuff. But L'mayla Min Hasvacha, but whatever's on top of the hat, any Yotzei Bo, she can't go out because it's in plain view. And then there's the problem of maybe she'll come. Because then, cause she'll, if it's in plain view, maybe she'll show her friends. So Rashi, this long Rashi here, says, wait a minute. But the Chachamim also said that there's a problem of making fun. So why didn't Abaya list the Chachamim also? So the Rashi answers, because Abaya is only listing things that people may make fun of, but you're still allowed to do it. You're still allowed to wear these things. Even though, right, since they're going to make fun of you, you're not going to advertise it. But the Chachamim feel that since they're going to make fun of you, you're going to be embarrassed, you'll come to take it off. It's a whole two opposite ways of looking at the same issue. So Abaye didn't want to include the Chachamim, because according to the Chachamim, you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Because they're going to make fun of you. It's unbelievable. It's two sides of the exact same coin. So therefore, Abaye didn't include the Chachamim. He only included those that say it's mutter. Since it's embarrassing, you're never going to advertise it at all, so you're not going to come to carry it, so there's no problem. All three cases. Fine.
Did they have all that concept at all? The Shabbos that had one shoe.
Yeah. No, that wasn't the reason. The reason you can't go, there were two reasons. One reason was why you can't go out with one shoe was because they're gonna feel you carrying it.
Right.
They're gonna feel you carrying it. And the other reason was because they're gonna feel. Yeah, but going out with one shoe, it's not a.
You can't hide
that. No, it can't hide that. It's not something wrong with you. You're going out with one shoe. Why are you doing that? Now, you have body odor, so you're trying to hide that, right? You have a gold tooth. You're trying to hide your deficiency. Why somebody goes out with one shoe? So I don't know. Right, I don't know if that's the same. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Yotze Betzela Sha'al HaTzinis. You're allowed to go out with a coin that's on your tzinis. Tzinis, the Gemara is going to say in a minute, it's some kind of wound on the bottom of your foot. So if there's a wound on the bottom of your foot, you can put a coin there to protect the foot from anything on the floor. Habanos Kitanos, the small girls, Yotzos Bechutin, they can go out with a string in their ear. We had this already. Vafilu bekismin. They can even go out with a kismin, a little splint that they would put when the girls would get their ears pierced. They wouldn't wear jewelry yet in their ear. It wasn't the custom for them, for such young girls, but they would get their ears pierced for whatever reason, and they would put string or little piece of wood inside the ear so that the hole shouldn't close up. So all that's okay to wear out. Shabbos nehem, in their ears. Aravios, the women, Jewish women, who live in Arabia. Yotzos Ru'ulos. They can go out Ru'ulos. What's Ru'ulos? Rashi here says Ru'ulos is where nothing is exposed except for the woman's two eyes. She's completely covered in veils except for her two eyes. And Rashi says, Rashi quotes a pasuk. He says that Diktiv Gabi Tachshitei Nashim B'Sefer Yeshaya. Like a Sefer Yeshaya explains the Tachshitei Nashim. The Navi over there does. So over there Rashi says it's one eye. Everything's exposed except for one eye. Here he says two eyes. The Mechaber says it means your face. And then on the side, the Baragola says, yeah, but Rashi said, and the Arbach said, it means only leaving your eyes exposed. Like the Arabian women, even today. All you can see, the Arabs, all you can see is the two eyes. That's okay. Umidios, and the women from Madai, is Perufos. They're allowed to go out Perufos. Perufos means that they would have some kind of shawl, some kind of talus, and they would attach one side to the other side with a strap that went around them somehow, and basically they would attach one side to the other side, and the Mishnah is going to say in a minute that they would attach one side to the other side with a coin, like a button, or they would use a piece of a rock, anything they would use as a button. So the Mishnah is saying that that's okay because that's considered a malbush. That's okay. The chol adam, anybody, any woman can wear these things. Ella shedibur chachamim behove. The Chachamim were telling you, normally, the normal women, in Madai, that was what was worn, and in Arabia, that was what was normally done by the women. But the truth is, any woman could wear that if they want. Parfos, it's interesting, the whole discussion about the women and the eyes, so I saw last night in the Sharm Mitzion Bahalach, he has a whole discussion about having a talus over your head and having your eyes covered. So you see that that's not really a normal way of davening, because it's not a normal way of walking. It's not Derech Yishma'eli, because even the Yishma'elim keep their eye, at least they can see where they're going. So these people that have the talus over their head covering their eyes, it's a whole discussion whether or not it's okay, and then the Chassidim say it is okay. It's a whole discussion over there, but it all comes from this Gemara about Rulos. Right, so Atifa is to be Derech Yishma'eli, but even when you put your talus on, you're supposed to be able to see out of the talus with your eyes, exactly. Parfos al ha'evan, you can use to clasp the two ends of the shawl together. You can use a stone, v'alha egos, you can use a nut, v'alha matbeya, and you can use a coin, u'bavad shelo tafruf l'chatchila b'shabbos. As long as you don't initially do that tarfuf, that connecting on Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to say that it makes no sense, because we just said it 2 seconds ago, that you can go out with it, it's mashmit on Shabbos. So how can the Gemara, now, the Mishnah now says, but you can't do it on Shabbos? And the Gemara is going to address that. So the Gemara says, "My tzinis, what's tzinis? Bas ara, it's some kind of wound on the bottom of your foot, and you attach this coin as protection. Umayshna sela, and why is this different? And why do you have to specifically use a sela? Right? Why does the Mishnah focus on a sela? So the Gemara says, Ilema kol midza akusha. If you're telling me that you want to use anything that's hard, so Rashi explains it'll protect you from the thorns in the street. So mali lo le'eved le'chaspa. So then use a piece of pottery. It's also hard. Ela mishum shuchsa. Or you're going to use, the reason why you want to use a coin is Rashi explains, because shuchsa means that the metal sweats a little, and that sweating is part of the healing. If that's the case, so le'eved le'tasa. So just use a metal slug. Why are you using a coin? Ela mishum tursa, or because you want to use you want on the coin, you want the form of the person. The person whoever's on the coin. That form somehow also helps the healing process. So then la avidle pulsa. So then use a wooden slug that also has somehow carved out some kind of design on it. Why do you have to use a coin? So Amar Abaya says, Shmamina, we see from here, Kulu Malno. All three are helping. All three help you. So the reason why you single out the coin is because all three are part of the healing. And since you put it on before Shabbos, it's not a problem. So the next thing the Mishnah said was, Habanos Yotzos Bechutin, that the girls are allowed to go out with these strings in their hair. Avuah de Shmuel, not in their hair, in their ears. Avuah de Shmuel, the Shmuel's father, Lo Shavuk Lahu Lebinse Denafku Bechutin. Shmuel's father did not allow the girls, his daughters, to go out with these strings in their ears. V'lo shavik lehu ganiyin gabi hadadi, and he did not let the girls sleep in the same bed together. So bapashtus, they were not married, but they were single girls. But the next line says va'avid lehu mikvos biyomei Nisan. He would build for them mikvahs in during the Nisan season, bimei Nisan, umifatzi biyomei Tishrei, and they would use. And he would build for them mats during Tishrei. We're going to get to that, what that means. So, Mistama, the Pashtas, these were not married girls now. Because what are they going to the mikvah for when they're not married? So Rashi says that in those days they would go to the mikvah for even for Tumah, so it's Lav Dafka. Okay, so during Nisan he would make for them mikvahs, and during Tishrei he would make for them mats. Well, so we'll get to that. So, yeah.
Then
the Mishnah has to specify
that because it's obviously certain on purpose.
Right.
Therefore, it might be. Yeah, Rashi says that. Right. So, yeah. Saying, he goes in to say that why does he differentiate? Why does he doubt that to say that? Because it's different from married women and not married women. The reason is that he goes into the whole thing again with the strings in the air. Married women, not married
right.
women.
Right.
So, the reason is
he's
very specific to say that single women don't go to
the
mikvah as often.
Right. So, Rashi brings down the whole thing about single women going to the mikvah, and he says, Rashi says, I don't want to go into it. He says that Abakatanos delo shchichu b'hu tevila shari. Katanos don't go to the mikvah. But then he says it's not necessarily true that first of all the katanos nami tzrichos tevila. Girls then anyway would go to the mikvah. L'tumas maga if they touched something that was tamei mishum tahiros v'af nidos nami shchichas b'hu. You can even have a case where girls are nidos. The katanya like it has a nida daf lamed beis ma'aseh shahaya. Right, so it can go either way. Violin is, it can go either way. Even though the girls, the pashtus, because the Gemara happened on a base, why he didn't let the girls sleep in the same bed? It doesn't really apply if they're married. And then, so the mikvah, it can go either way. Okay. Anyway, so it says, Lo shavuk lehu yitzios b'chutin, that he did not allow the girls to go out wearing these strings in their ears. Ay v'anan tanan habanas yotos b'chutin, that they can. So why was he so restrictive? So the Gemara says, "Banse Davud Shmuel Tzivuun and Havi." It was colored. He would send them out in colored strings, and Lo Shavik Lahu. And he didn't want them to go out because if they were colored, they were pretty. There was a chance they would take them off and show them to their friends. But by a plain, ordinary string, no one's showing them off because there's nothing to show off. Next, Gniin Gabi Hadadi, that he would not let them sleep in the same bed. Lema Messiah le Rav Huna, that let's say this supports Rav Huna. Amr Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, Nashim Hamasulalos Zubazu, women that warm themselves one to another, and Rashi explains, Mishum Taivas Tashmish, that's what the women are doing with each other. Then, Tesulo le Kahuna, they're puzzle for the Kahuna. So, Rashi says, the puzzle for the Kahuna Gedola. So, even though they didn't do anything, they come out of the category of a Basula. Just by the women being in the same bed together and having tivus with each other, that removes them from the status of basula. Tosfos says, you don't even have to say that. You can even say that they become usher for every kohen because they become a zona. Again, even though they would not be chayav misa for that, they didn't do a maisa bia, maisa znus, but if they're in the same bed together for the purposes of tashmish and erva, that's enough to make them a zona and they'd be possible for any kohen. Even though Rashi does both point out, even though when the time of Shmuel's father, there was no longer a Kohen Gadol, there was no longer a Beis HaMikdash, still, since he held it, that took you out of the category of being able to marry one a Kohen, he didn't want his girls to do it at all. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the reason he did it. It wasn't because of that. You don't have to say that Shmuel's father agreed with that Shita. Rather, Kihechi de la Lilfan Gufei Nuchriya. He didn't want to get his daughters used to sleeping next to a body, next to any body, so then they're going to have taiva for a man. They're going to want to be with a man because they're going to be so used to sleeping with a body that they're going to want to always have that, and it could lead to them having relations with married men or they're not married. So you see from here that they're not married, because if they weren't married, what's the issue? They're married already. So obviously here they're not married, Stewie. You see, they're not married. Okay, v'avad lahu mikvah, and he would make for them a mikvah b'yomei Nisan, in the days of Nisan. So we need a few minutes of background for this. There are two ways that a person could go to the. There are two ways that a woman, even a man, but we're talking about women now because men now don't go to the mikvah for halachic reasons. that there are two ways a woman can become tahora. She can go to the mikvah, or she can go to a mayim chayim. What's a mayim chayim? Any river is a mayim chayim. The two halachas have their slight differences. For a river will work as long as it is flowing. If it's not flowing, there's a problem. Okay? By a mikvah, it's the exact reverse. A mikvah only works if it's stationary. If the water is stationary. If the water is flowing, it will not work. Though the flowing water is called zochlin, the river flows, and the other thing is called, the stationary one is called hanotfin, which really means drops. So it talks about raindrops. So the problem here is that Shmuel's father was scared that during the month of Nisan, right after the winter is over, you have a river now, and because of all the snow and all the rain that melted off the mountaintops that flooded up the river, you now have rove of the river is no longer flowing. Rove of the river is due to the fact that you have non-flowing water. Therefore, he was scared that the river was not going to be a valid place to do tefillah, so he built for them mikvahs. But during the Tishrei, when the summer's over, there's no rain there in the summertime, so when the summer was over, there was no more suspicion, there was no more problem, because Mestama, the river was all flowing, and they were allowed to be tovel in that mikvah. That's what's going on here. Got that? So, Biyome Nisan, Mesayle L'Rav. That supports Rav. The Amar Rav, because Rav said, Mitra B'Ma'arava, when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, Sahada Rava Pras. The river Pras, the Euphrates River, bears great witness to the fact that it rains in Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? That means that the rains in Eretz Yisrael and the mountains of Eretz Yisrael, the rain that from Eretz Yisrael flow all the way into the Pras. The Pras floods, and the Pras bears witness that it rains in Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi says they're very happy because they knew that if the Pras is so overflowing in Bavel, it showed that there was a good crop, good rain, right? Good rain in Eretz Yisrael. They're very happy about that. So you see from here that the rain of the rain and all the other water that comes from Eretz Yisrael will flood up the Pras, and it'll cause the Pras not to be Zochlin anymore. And if it's not Zochlin anymore, they can't go in there anymore. It's not a valid source of going to the mikvah. Savar, because they held, Rashi changes the word to be Shema. Shema yirbu hanotfin al hazochlin. Maybe there'll be more notfin, which is more rainwater, al hazochlin. There'll be more of that on the flowing water, and it's going to passel that river to be a valid river, to be a good mikvah. But pligi de Shmuel didn't hold like that at all. Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel held nahara mikife mivrach, that the river increases from its own sources, from its own underground springs and underground cavities. The river increases the flow, and therefore there's no problem of this whole chashash that there's going to be too much rain, which is going to make the river into non-flowing. Shmuel just disregards it all. What? Right. But the Gemara points out, upligi didei adidei. Shmuel himself doesn't make any sense, because he himself argued on himself. Tamar Shmuel, because Shmuel said, ein hamayim metaharin bezochlin, that mayim, you cannot be metahar in a zochlin river, in a flowing river, el a pras, except for the pras, be yimei tishrei bilvad. And then only in yimei tishrei, because in yimei tishrei, since it's at the end of the summer, and there's no rain in the summer, so all the rain's already dried up, so the only thing you have here is zochlin, and then it's okay. So you see, Shmuel himself was internally inconsistent. So some say Shmuel really held like his own shita that it's not a problem, but he was choshesh. Maybe they're right. So I'll be machmir and not let them go except for the Yibei Tishrei. And why did Shmuel's father make mats for them? So Rashi says he made mats for them so that when they would go into the river, the mat would go on the floor, and the girls, when they went into the mikvah, it would not, their feet would not touch the mud, because maybe the mud's going to be a chatzitza. That's what Rashi says. So the Ran says, what are you talking about? Because if they're going to go into the mikvah, their feet are going to be under the water, their body probably is going to be under the water before their feet even touch the ground of the river. So what's the chashash? It's going to be a chatzitza. What's the chashash? Their feet are going to touch the water first, and they're going to go all the way under the water. They'll be completely submerged, and then there'll be a problem of their feet touching the bottom of the water, or the bottom of the river bank. So what do you put a mat there for? So some say no, that there's even a mission that says that you're allowed to put a bed. When there have to be total beds, they would put a bed in the mikvah, and the Mishnah there says, the Mishnah mikvah says, even if the bed's going to go into the riverbank, it's not a problem because it touched the water first. So some say that there was a bigger chashash by people because the dirt of the riverbank will attach themselves to skin faster than it will to a bed. The Ransa himself says that these mats were not made for the riverbank; they were made as mechitzos. So the women should be able to go to the mikveh in private, and that's that whole issue. But Taz, the true Tzadashin, asks an unbelievable question. He says, "What's the whole chashash? What's the whole chashash about rainwater is gonna become the rove of the river? We have a klal by a mikveh. If you have 40 saw of a kosher mikveh, you can put in 1,000 gallons of whatever you want. It's not gonna pass all the mikveh. Once you have a valid mikveh, 40 saw, you can do whatever you want." So what's the whole chashash? You have a running river, so we're scared that rainwater is going to come in and going to be mevatel, the flowing aspect of the river. So who cares? Hear that question? So he says, think about it though. So the Taz has a whole, it's a huge, it went three columns. But what I think the answer is basically he says that you can't compare the two cases. He says a mikvah is only kosher with rainwater. Think about that. It's only kosher with rainwater. Here, the rain is going to be something that's passeling, something that's making it invalid. Because it's apples and oranges. By mikveh, you have a separate halacha, because the only thing you can use is rainwater. Right? You can't use drawn water. Once you have the rainwater, then drawn water is okay. Here, the issue is zochlin, the issue is flowing and not flowing. And if the rainwater is coming in and it's not flowing, there is a potential of passeling it. Since Simon Shin Reish Beis, Reish Beis? Reish Aleph. Reish Beis, I think. Reish Aleph, sorry. Reish Aleph. The Taz and Sif Gimel goes on for three columns talking about this question.
How's it possible if my definition of river is moving?
What?
Your definition of river is moving. You go to the Delaware in the middle of Nisan.
I know.
You see it's flying.
I know, so.
The more rainwater you have for the mountains, the faster the river moves in.
Yeah, but.
Explain a little different. That rainwater is only touched if it's not moving.
Right.
So when rainwater goes into the river, not that the river flows less, but rainwater that flows is not kosher for mikveh.
Right. It's going to be a vatel, the flowing part of the natural river. Right.
The
right.
Rainwater that comes from the spring that flows.
Right.
Not
right.
So
right. That's how we.
So it's quite not that the river is flowing less; it's that rainwater that flows is not kosher for mikveh.
Right. We started off that way. That's what I said. That's why you can't tell. That's why during the rainy season, he said, don't take chances. Don't go there. Right. I don't know if you could tell. I don't know if he ever took a scientific study. But he was scared. He was scared that was going to be a problem. I saw, he was just choshesh, that since it's so much rainwater, the potential that it could be rove of the river. Right. The rivers still flow. Right. Rivers always flow. But he's saying that the rove of the water is not natural. Rove of the water is from the rain and from the mountains. So I saw that someone wants to say, I think the Ramam, I forgot who says it, that in Eretz Yisrael this whole issue doesn't apply because Eretz Yisrael is on the top of the world. So there's no mountains going there, leading into it. So you're never going to have this problem. I don't know how it could be on top of the world. Right? We always say that's only in Ruchnius. So top of the world in Ruchnius, because the world is round. So there is no one spot that's higher than any other spot. Even though the Torah says that, right? Rashi says it many times in the Torah that Eretz Yisrael is the highest place. We always think that means in Ruchnius, because in geography there's no such place, right? Or you could say you can't say it's true. If you take an arbitrary spot, you can make Eretz Yisrael the top of the world also, even in geography, if you do it arbitrarily. But practically it's not. But that's what they hold, that in Eretz Yisrael the whole thing doesn't apply because no mountains lead into any rivers, and all the rivers are always considered flowing at all times. Okay. What? No, but isn't there a chashash about the rain? There is a chashash about the rain.
So it's coming from.
Right, it goes where it's coming from. Right. Okay. So the Mishnah had said, Porefes al ha'even. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. That Vamarta, but the Resha, Vamarta Resha, but the Resha said that you're allowed to use a shawl when you want to attach the two ends of the shawl together. You can use the Mishnah said you could use a stone or a coin. So Vamarta Resha, but the Resha said Porefes, that it's okay. And then the end of the Mishnah comes along and says, but you can't. But the Resha of the Mishnah says you can. So Abaya said Seifa Asan Lamakbeya. The end of the Mishnah says you can't. That's only talking about a coin. And here's what's going on: you can use a stone, you can use a coin, you can use anything you want as a button. But if you did not use a coin before Shabbos, then you can't use a coin on Shabbos. Why? Because it's muksa. What about a stone? Isn't a stone also muksa? So the way Rashi explains it, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is, a coin, a rock could serve many, many functions, and the Mishnah Berurah says especially and only maybe if it's a circular rock. So a rock, you can set aside a rock with your mind. You can set it aside with your mind. I'm using this rock. I want to use it to clasp my shul together, and you can even do that before Shabbos. But a coin, nobody uses coins for anything else other than money. So if you say, tomorrow when I need to go out with my shawl, I'm going to use the coin. If you say that, that's buttled to the dot of everybody else. Because nobody does that. The only way you can get the coin to become not a coin is if you use it before Shabbos as not a coin. Then it loses the status of a coin. It becomes a button. That's what the Mishnah is distinguishing. The coins are, Lagabi, the issue of muksa, coins are different than everything else. Everything else, people use everything for everything, but nobody uses coins for anything. They leave it as money. If you go ahead before Shabbos and you use your coin as a button, then it's no longer for you. It's no longer a coin, and then it's not a problem. If you want to use it as a toy, so then it'll be batel. If you don't use it before Shabbos, then you can't do it because your das of making it a coin is batel. I always had a kasha about coins of other countries because that's really like a toy because it's not worth anything here. I'm talking about like these old Israeli shekels, like this 1,000 shekel coin, it's worth 2 cents. So you just want to show the kids on Shabbos, you just want to play with them, is that a problem? It probably is, but maybe it comes back down to this issue, if it's Mevatel, Eitel, Das of everybody else. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. Nobody uses coins for anything else. Rocks? Yeah, people use rocks for everything. So before Shabbos, you think, I'm going to use the rock. So the Mishnah Berurah says, only maybe by a circular rock that's right to be used for a button. If it's a little funny looking and it's not really normal, then you have to also use it before Shabbos, just like a coin. Right. Right. It could be right. So but there it becomes bottle because you use it before Shabbos, right. So now Abaya asks a very interesting question. Isha Mahu Shatorim Vitifrof al Haegos Lahotzi Livna Cotton Bashabbos. A woman wants to bring her child a knot. And the child's in Rosh Hashanah Yachid and she's in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The only way to carry the nut over there is to use it for a button. So can she use it for a button, but her whole intention really is to bring the food to the son? That's why the question is a bay of Shatarim. She's using harama. She's using a trick. Right? She's going to use it as a valid coin. She's going to use it as a valid coin. But her ultimate motive is to get it to the son across the street. That's the ultimate motive. So can she do that on Shabbos? So listen to this. The Gemara is going to end up saying Teku. Tiboy lamanda amar ma'arimim. Tiboy lamanda amar ain ma'arimim. The question can go both ways. It can go according to the manda amar who says you're allowed to do harama, and it can go according to the one who says you're not allowed to do harama. Where are you allowed to do harama? So the Rashi reminds us in daf kuf chaf later on. Let's say you have a fire in the house. So there's a machlokas what you're allowed to do. So one man the armor says you can put on 10 shirts and 10 pairs of pants. You can, as much as you want to do, you can do that and get it out of your house. Nobody wears that in the street. But you can do that harama, you're allowed to. The reason you're allowed to is because we're scared that if we don't let you do that, you might put the fire out. Because you're going to be so upset about your money. But if we give you an out to carry out as much as you want in a semi-derech of a normal way, we had said before, there's no isser of wearing two garments on Shabbos. Because if it's freezing cold, you would do it. So it's never usher. except we said it by belts. By belts was a problem because nobody wears more than one belt. But shirts, two shirts, sometimes people do. They wear, right? They wear an undershirt underneath. They wear a turtleneck underneath. And they wear a shirt overhand, right? So clothes is not a problem. And the other one says, no. Since wearing more than one garment is considered normal, it's a little difficult. Since wearing more than one garment is considered normal, because Rashi says especially the sellers of clothes do that, so that's a normal thing. So therefore, we don't let them do it because we're scared they're going to carry out more biyadayim. So the question could go according to either one of those manda amrim. Hasam, I'm sorry. Tiboy la manda amrim ma'arimim. The question can be asked according to the one who says that you could be ma'arimim. Why? Bidleka, by a fire. Hasam who the elo sharis lay. If we don't allow him to take out more clothes at one shot. He'll come to put out the fire himself. So we don't want him to do that. That's an Issur D'oraisa. So we'll allow him to do this, which is not even an Issur D'rabbanan really, if you hold you can wear more than one article of clothing. So we allow him to do that, we don't want him to put out the fire. Aval hacha, but over here, Elo Sharisle, if we don't allow him to move if we don't let him carry the stone across the street, lo asilafuke, he's not going to carry it. Okay, so the child will go without. Not going to come to Obiyosar and this is the rise of carrying. Oh, Dilmore, maybe a feel about the Amr Eimarimin, even if you call but Leko, even according to the one who holds, that we do not allow this Harama by a fire, Hasam, Derechot Zabakach, because it's normal to wear more than one article of clothing. Rashi says, because that's how sellers of clothing wear it. So therefore, since since that's normal, we don't allow him to take out anything more because we're scared he's going to carry. Abel Hachel, but over here, Ein Derechot Zabakach, Nobody carries. It's not a normal way of carrying a knot. Ema shaper dummy. So maybe it's okay. So the Gemara ends off. Teku. We don't know the answer. So the Mechaber says, we have 2 minutes. The Mechaber says that there's a huge discussion over here about this teku. Because would it be a daraisa? Let's assume she did it. She used the knot as a button just to get it across the street. Would that be a daraisa of carrying? No. It's not a normal way of carrying. It's not normal, it's klachayad. So it wouldn't be a daraisa. So we generally have a rule that all tekus, if savi daraisa is l'chumra, savi darabana l'kula. But over here, listen to this. Im haisa tzricha lahotzi egos livna. This is in Simon Shin Gimel, Sifchav Beis. Sifchav Gimel. If she wants to take the egos for her son, who fear for Allah, and she clasps it together, kedei lahotziya, to carry it out, im l'rishos harabim, aser. If it's a god of rishos harabim, he's not allowed to. Very interesting. But the im lekarmelis mutter. If you're only going to a karmelis, it's okay. And the Mishnah Berurah says that asr midrabanan. It's only asr midrabanan. Only asr midrabanan lasos kain. Af shehu derech malbush, vein derech hotzabakach. Why? Bipnei shenira kima aremes lahotzi b'shabbos. It looks like you're doing a trick on Shabbos. Very difficult. Vida de elu shtei sifim after mari b'isha hu adin b'ish. That applies to a man also. What? No, because by a fire we're scared you're going to do a doraisa. You're going to put out a fire. Putting out a fire is a doraisa.
But it still has the same reason. It still looks like you're doing...
Right. But when it comes to money, you're going to have later on in the prakha, when it comes to people losing their money, they'll do crazy things. Here, what are they... There's no doraisa here. We're going to give the kid a knot. Yeah, you're allowed to do that. I think you're saying you're allowed to do that. Right. 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 No, that's Tzarechian. Okay.